Hello, and welcome to Trashy Divorces, everybody's favorite good podcast about bad relationships. My name is Stacy.
Hey friends, Alicia here. Thank you for joining us for today's tale of marital misadventure. What have I got spinning for you today? Mary J. Blige, The queen of hip-hop and soul, the queen of R&B. Queen is the key word in all of that. I couldn't think of anybody better to take us out of season 21. Mary J. has a whole history of trashy boyfriends and a really, really trashy divorce too that was mired in all kinds of legal ugly. Before we begin our story today though, we do have a few big thanks and shout outs to give to our most recent Patreon supporters.
Thank you so much for joining us at patreon.com/trashydivorces. Lisa H., Whit C., Stephanie S., Andrea R., Samantha B., Alyssa D.
And holy cats, our very newest super supporter, Carrie A. We are so grateful to all y'all. Thank you, new supporters and sustaining supporters. You really are the trashy magic that makes us go. Thank you to all for joining us today.
Alicia, what is the 411 on Mary J. Blige?
I can't wait to tell you. Let's go, go, go. Oh, trash pandas. Mary J. Blige, often referred to as the queen of hip-hop and soul and the queen of R&B, she has been a staple in the hip-hop world ever since her debut album, What's the 411, that went multi-platinum in 1992.
Yeah.
If you worked in retail in 1992,
sure.
Mary J. Blige was half of your Muzak soundtrack. Mary continued the trend after What's the 411 with seven other records that also reached multi-platinum status.
That's incredible.
You ready for some more fun facts about Mary J? She has received a whopping 38 Grammy nominations.
That's also incredible.
She's won 9 of those nominations, including Album of the Year and Song of the Year. She also has won 4 American Music Awards, 11 Billboard Music Awards, and countless other awards. Really talented. In 2018, Mary J. Blige was nominated for an Academy Award, a Golden Globe, and a Screen Actors Guild Award for her performance in Mudbound. She also won a Primetime Emmy Award in 2022 for her live halftime show at the Super Bowl. Talented.
Mm-hmm.
Got a few more honors before we get to the trash. In 2019, Mary J. Blige was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award at the BET Awards. All in all, Mary J. Blige has been nominated for, you ready, 236 awards and has won 88 of those.
I had no idea. I mean, I knew she was a wildly popular and successful artist. I had no idea there were this many awards.
So many. Now, all the acclaim, all the awards, I gotta be honest with you, she's had a lot of obstacles to overcome on her way to success. Mary suffered a traumatic childhood, which led her into the throes of addiction. And in 2016, Mary J. filed for divorce and then entered into a 2-year legal battle that would leave her angry, emotionally exhausted, and broke.
Oh, God.
Mary J. discovered her husband manager had spent all their money, leaving her financially destitute. But ready for this? With a judgment to pay him $30,000 a month in spousal support.
Oh my God.
Her inability to pay rent inspired her to write the song Rent Money in 2022.
What a terrible turn of events for someone who clearly is incredibly accomplished and, again, successful.
You ready to get the 411? You want to unpack it?
I do.
Such a good story. All right, let's talk about Mary Jane Blige. Mary Jane was born in the Bronx in New York on January 11th, 1971. Capricorn girl. Mary Jane's mother, Cora, was a nurse and her father, Thomas, was a jazz musician. Daddy Thomas was also a Vietnam veteran and suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, alcoholism, and was physically abusive. So really the trifecta there.
Yeah.
Dad leaves Mary Jane and the family in the mid-1970s. Sadly, Mary's mother also struggled with addiction, and Mom and the kids struggle financially. Mm-hmm. How could you not? Right. They move into a public housing project where Mary, bless her heart, was sexually abused starting at the age of 5.
Jeez.
And continued until she was about 17. Probably understandable, as a troubled teenager living in poverty, Mary uses sex and drugs and alcohol to help with that emotional pain. She will eventually drop out of high school before she graduates. Although it initially almost killed her, her abuse and addiction ultimately makes her stronger and more determined. She will tell the Associated Press in 2018, "I've had to fight since I was 5 years old. I haven't had anyone approach me like that since I've been in the music business. But from 5 to 17, I've been through hell with sexual harassment. So by the time I got into the music business, it was like, don't touch me or I'll kill you."
I mean, not unreasonable.
Discussing her addiction, she will say, "It was bigger than me and it was definitely going to kill me. So I was like, this is it then. Let's go. I remember sitting on my bed. I swear, I don't know what death feels like, but I felt like my spirit was trying to leave my body." Good for Mary J. She will get clean by the end of the story, but let's go ahead and talk first up about her abusive relationship with Cedric Haley, also known as KC. One trashy divorce, a lot of trashy boyfriends. Mary J., while she's working on her first full-length album, What's the 411? She begins to date fellow R&B singer KC Haley from the group Jodeci. We're going way back now. Looks like KC and Mary J. have it all. They're both talented young musicians with bright careers ahead of them. They're not only together romantically, but they collaborate professionally. It's all great. The couple gets engaged and would remain together for 12 years
Wow.
before breaking up. It wouldn't be until much, much later that Mary J. Blige opens up about how exactly abusive the relationship had become. There were some public warning signs, though, of a troubled relationship. Let me tell you about the most famous incident, which is a little bit heartbreaking. The couple, KC and Mary J., are in London. They're performing on the same television show. They each have separate interviews on the show. And when it was Mary J.'s turn to do her on air, she was asked by the host to share the news of her engagement and show her engagement ring. That's so nice, right? Of course, we all want to celebrate in your success, Mary J. She happily talked about it, and the host asked her to watch the pre-recorded footage of KC's interview, where he assured his fans that there was no way he was getting married and there was no pending engagement. Imagine how embarrassing
that is, super weird
and mortifying that would be, because it's set up, right? Like they've talked to KC and now Mary J is watching this. The camera pans back to her and she understandably looks shocked and upset and a little confused. And then she says, "No, we're not getting married now." Mary was humiliated and many fans even thought she had been lying about the engagement thing. But she decided to stay with KC anyway. I know. Later, she explains her decision by saying, "When I was supposed to let go, I started feeling like, nah, I can't let these women take what I know I worked so hard for, what I cried over every night, and what I actually fought for and was abused by."
That is... that's just terrible to hear.
I'm the one that he should be abusing, not any other girl, right? Trashy divorces is really a long lesson in relationships. So KC, for his part, tells Vibe in 2006. You ready for this? "I never said I was going to marry her. Yes, I gave her a ring, but not because I wanted to marry her. I gave her a ring after she came off tour and she kept hinting around that she wanted a ring. I never agreed to marry Mary J. We never talked about starting a family or anything like that. We are not as serious as people thought." 12 years, KC!
My friend, This is not it.
Turns out, though, Stacey and Trash Pandas, that's not even close to the worst of it. You ready for more? In 2002, Mary J. Blige told The Guardian that her boyfriend actually had tried to kill her. I'm sorry, her ex-boyfriend had tried to kill her, although she doesn't explicitly say his name. Here's the quote, though. "I was in a hellish relationship. When you hate yourself, you draw people to you who hate you too. You get sick and tired of being sick and tired of people beating on you. It was the day I was almost murdered.
Whoa.
I screamed with all the breath I had left as my boyfriend physically tried to take me out of this world.
Wow.
There were weapons involved. I said, I can't do this no more. I had seen little signs of it after 2 or 3 years with him, but that day I said, no more of this drama."
Hmm. That's beyond drama.
Mary J., I've been there. I understand what that is like. And you snap. You make the decision that you gotta go. In 2016, KC, because he's not done, complains to the Breakfast Club radio show about a time when, in the middle of a Jodeci show, Mary J. Blige took the mic and told a girl in the front row to never touch her man again.
Oh my God.
He went on to say, KC did. "We had fun, man. We was young. It just exploded. I'm not going to lie. I did some things. She couldn't take that heat."
Wow.
Mm-hmm. She couldn't take that heat.
I'm glad they're not together anymore.
If I had a dunking booth or like a pie throwing station, seems like what I feel like doing right now. Mary J. Blige says the abusive relationship with KC, along with the substance abuse and depression, nearly derailed her career after her debut album.
I'm sure, yeah.
She'll summarize to Uptown Magazine in 2021. "I loved KC Haley, but neither of us could handle the success of our lives, so it became very dark, the whole thing, and abusive." That's boyfriend number one.
Hmm.
It's not a real rosy picture in love for Mary J. It's what I'm trying to tell y'all.
Sure. And it sounds like her childhood didn't give her a lot of role models for healthy relationships.
Right?
Yeah.
Super tough. Now is a great time to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about her relationships with Case, Tupac Shakur, and P. Diddy.
We'll see you on the flip.
Hey, Trash Pandas, y'all know I take my anti-position very seriously in life, and I am always looking for the very best in kiddo clothing, especially that I can personalize and monogram too. Cade and Lane is my favorite brand for kids' clothing, and not just for my own monogramming obsession. I am enchanted with the Color Me pajama sets. It's my go-to gift, as it's essentially a coloring book you can wear to bed. The Color Me pajamas come with their own washable markers. There's so much room for creativity.
This podcast is sponsored by Cade and Lane, the company started by a single mom looking to make better and cuter stuff for her own kids all the way back in 2005. Cade and Lane is continuing this mission to create comfortable, functional, eco-friendly quality clothing that endures and looks terrific.
Springtime, Easter time, summertime coming up. The spring and beachwear collections this year are adorable. From dressy clothes to beachwear. And y'all, Cade and Lane has your kiddos covered. I love the beachwear line. Functional and good looking, it also provides worry-free fun in the sun with UPF 50+ sun protection swimwear, saving so many summertime meltdowns.
Cade and Lane is your one-stop shop for all of your newborn, infant, and toddler apparel.
Head to cadenlane.com/trashy and use the code TRASHY for 20% off your order.
Once again, that's cadenlane.com/trashy for 20% off, and make sure you use our promo code TRASHY so they know we sent you. Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Just keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
All right, back with Mary J. So many boyfriends, so little time. Next up is her relationship with singer Case. Mary also dated the Missing You singer, Case, in the 1990s. They lived together for a while, and she appeared in some of his music videos. Case later admitted that their relationship ended because, you want to guess? He was unfaithful.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised.
Case says, the way things ended with Mary, they pretty much just ended. I was on tour and Mary's cousin was my hype man. Mind, though, that if I wait until he goes, he won't see that I brought three girls into my room. I was sloppy.
Yikes.
That's a good way to get caught, man. You don't want your girlfriend's cousin as your hype man seeing three girls in your room. That is sloppy, Case. Sorry. Like, fair point. Now, back when Mary was dating KC, Tupac Shakur actually intervened in some of those altercations, arguments that Mary and KC had during their toxic relationship. Tupac's guard, Reggie Wright Jr., told Cam Capone News, they got into a fight. Somehow she called Pac because her and Pac were on the down low cool. We had to run over to the Peninsula Hotel. She was running down the side street and jumped in the car right quick. And Pac picked her up and took her off.
Wow. Okay, that is serious.
Oh, this is like serious. Tina Turner running away. Yeah. Like, I'll go anywhere besides where I am. After Mary J. and Casey ended things, reportedly in the rumor mill, she and Tupac dated for a little while. But that's nothing like the complicated relationship with Mary and P. Diddy Combs. Sean, Puff Daddy, we're going to P. Diddy. Mary and P. Diddy had been close friends and collaborators when she first started in her career. But then all of a sudden in 1994, they stopped due to what she describes as her reckless lifestyle. But, oddly, in 2001, Mary J. and P. Diddy reunite to record a remix version of No More Drama. Although neither of them confirmed their relationship, they were seen together a lot and were affectionate with each other in public, often holding hands and hugging.
These are signs.
Well, this is where it gets a little bit trashy. Not if you believe what Mary J. Blige has said or P. Diddy has said. But I'm going to talk about one other really interesting twisty video that I watched. This is from a singer. Her name is Jaguar Wright. She's a singer and musician. She worked with Mary J. Blige all the way back in the day. They used to have a lot of love between the two of them. They shared the same producer for a number of years. The lot of love between these two is not the case these days. Back in 2020, I believe, Jaguar Wright comes out with this scathing video. And she starts out with like, hey, if what I'm saying are lies, Mary J., you should sue me. She has not been sued, Jaguar Wright. So let me give you this little bit of inside dish, at least about Sean Combs' Puff Daddy. Jaguar breaks this down and says Puff really took over Mary J. Blige's decisions, and it has been that way now for 30 years. I've added the link to that video in this story along with all the other sources we use. You can find those at trashydivorces.com. But Jaguar Wright here makes Puffy out to be a really divisive figure. She, Jaguar, says Mary J. Blige is being used by P. Diddy to send talented artists to him so he can sign them for bad contracts. Jaguar's accusation here is Mary J. Blige is kind of working as a, for lack of a better word, pimp, madam.
Procurer.
Procurer, thank you, of what that is. There's a lot of tea in that. I don't want to give that too much, even though on Spiderwebs this week, we are going to get into a little bit of that. Interesting there. Something's going on with P. Diddy and Mary J. They've been tight as ticks for a number of years, and I can't really explain it. I'm not really sure how to break that down, but just do put in your trashy, fashionable hat that Sean Diddy Combs was accused of sexual harassment and assault just in the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. Some really, really disturbing claims from underage children about him. So something definitely to follow up on there. Today's story is about Mary J. Now, to be fair, she has been very open about her struggle with alcoholism and past drug addictions. Mary J. tells the Los Angeles Confidential in 2013, so many dark moments, which all added up, and that's what sprung on the drug addiction, trying to numb it all with the drugs. She'll go on to say that she traded, quote unquote, her cocaine addiction for alcohol to, quote, cover up guilt, shame, and abandonment, which sometimes happens. You can quit the thing you're addicted to, but you replace it with...
Oh, yeah. There's a reason. Also, there's a reason why the term self-medicating exists.
Absolutely. The thing is, with Mary J., she got a huge wake-up call when her friend, Whitney Houston, died. Mm. She'll say, Whitney Houston's death really affected me. Her death is another reason I stopped drinking. But Mary J. Blige did not go the conventional path and enter a rehab facility. She instead decided to turn to a higher power. She'll say, I believe anything man himself can do for me, God can do for me in a greater way. I decided to pray and seek God on my own. I just stayed in the word and it worked. So good for you.
Yeah.
Love that news.
And that does work for some people.
Whatever works for you, I applaud. Now, let's go ahead and get into the marriage before we get to the trashy divorce. Mary J. Blige met Kendu Isaacs when he was working on producing a record with Queen Latifah in 2000. In 2009, Kendu Isaacs told the story to Essence magazine. He'll say this, we were like, we should put Mary on this. Latifah reached out to Blige's people, but Blige was on tour and could only make time to record during a stop in Detroit. Latifah and I flew to Detroit, and Mary came into the studio around 3 in the afternoon. That was the first time we laid eyes on each other. They all went out together that night for dinner, and the two got along well, but it was a few months before Kendu and Mary talk again. Kendu said he had been asking for Latifah to connect them again, but it would be Mary J. that would call him. She said it was the first conversation I had with a guy that let me know somebody cared about me other than wanting to just, you know, sleep with me. Isaacs opened up to Blige and they bonded on that phone call. He will tell Essence. I said to her, I need to talk to you about some things. It might hurt. And immediately she said, I don't want to be hurt no more. And I said, well, it's not going to hurt in that manner. It's almost like you have a cut and it's created a scab, but underneath it's infected really bad. So the pain is going to come from pulling back the scab so that we can get to the cut and heal it properly. Blige says that she was so deeply moved by what he had told her in that conversation. She'll say, it was like something I'd never heard before, and I got exactly what he was talking about. Because I knew that I was damaged, but those words from Kendu woke my spirit up.
It's a good metaphor.
There was something, listen to this, there was something so fatherly and confident about him. I think I fell in love with him then, but got scared because he was the type of man I'd never seen before. He had this, I can take care of you, I can make you feel safe thing, and I needed that. Oh, goodness. It doesn't stay this way. My heart's breaking for where we're about to go. So both Mary and Kendu were both religious and started doing Bible study together. They mutually decided that they should not be having sex without being married. In 2007, Isaacs tells Essence, "When you're having sex and you're not married, it's called fornication in the Bible." True. Blige chimed in and said, "Men don't really do well with no sex, but I said, you'll have to show me that you really love me that much and move out. And he showed me that he loved me that much." Sounds like it's going to be all good, right?
Huzzah! Actually, that sounds like an unusual way to kick off a marriage,
but
hey.
Some father figure issues. We got some, you know, struggling with post, like, it's a lot. It's a lot. The two get married December 7th, 2003. And Mary J. soon finds out that the man that she had hoped for and that her desire for a father figure probably might just backfire.
How soon?
Well, Mary and Kendu never had children together, but he had three children from previous relationships. And Mary J. embraces her role as a stepmom. In 2014, she'll tell the Daily Mail, "I was never sitting around thinking, oh God, I want a baby. No." And then these very special kids came along, and it was like they were tailor-made for me to be their stepmom. Abstaining from sex before marriage was not the only old-fashioned rule the couple decided to follow. They also adopted the policy that they would only have friends of the same sex. Mary J. says, "All females for me, all guys for him. There's none of that, oh, that's my female friend, or oh, that's my guy friend. No, not in a marriage. I've never seen that work." Just hold on to all of these.
Yeah.
Hold on to all of these. So eventually, Mary will hire Kendu to be her manager. And for many years, it appears to be going smoothly, at least from the outside looking in. You're shaking your head. We've seen this film before.
So many
we
managers.
We didn't like the ending.
Managers, especially of women who are spout, like, yes, it, the opportunity for this to go terribly bad is humongous. And apparently it does.
Yeah. So on the outside, Mary publicly praises Kendu, credits him with helping her overcome many of her personal issues. She'll say, "He was the first person to ever challenge what I did. Why are you drinking? Why do you hate yourself? You don't need to be around people who tear you down. You're beautiful, Mary." He was the first man to ever tell me that. On the Wendy Williams show in 2013, Mary says, "My past was just horrific. I felt ashamed about everything. Me dropping out of high school, me not, you know, just not being beautiful enough." Going on to explain to Wendy Williams that Kendu cared for and loved her deeply. So if you have not had a relationship where you have been cherished and loved and nurtured in the way that your soul needs,
encouraged and supported,
when you get it for the first time, you'd think that's it, right? But things were not as rosy as she described. So break this down just a little bit further and talk about a little section I like to call hundreds of millions of problems with the IRS.
Oh, no.
In 2023, Mary J. discussed how she once owed hundreds of millions of dollars in unpaid taxes. She claims that her then-husband, Martin Kendu Isaacs, was the actual root of the problem and that he was in control of everything.
I mean, if he's her manager, it does imply the word business is usually put at the front of that.
In 2013, the IRS filed a tax lien against Blige for $3.4 million. That was not her only financial issue at the time. Mary was also being sued for defaulting on two bank loans in 2012 and 2013 in the amount of $2.7 million. So that's 6.1. That's not the end of it. Later in 2019, the IRS filed another tax lien against Blige, claiming she owed the federal government another $1.2 million in back taxes. So what's that, 7.3? That's a lot of millions. How did this happen?
Yeah, how did this happen?
Well, Mary would learn the extent of her financial issues and debts only after she files for divorce. She claims that Kendu handled all their finances, and she trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
Mary J. says, by the time I got the deposition and saw everything he did, I didn't have a dollar left. He spent everything. And he knew he spent everything, but he was still asking me for more money.
God, this is such a familiar tale. I feel like we have told this over and over and over again.
Like Doris Day's husband swindled her at the end. We've seen this. But Mary J. doesn't know until she's sitting around trying to get divorced that, holy cats,
it's all
gone. $8 million in debt and there's nothing left.
I've won 38 Grammys. Where is my money? I hate this for her.
We're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back for Mary J.'s very, very, very ugly, trashy divorce.
We'll be right back.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
I hate this for her.
It's bad.
She had undoubtedly earned tens of millions of dollars
100%.
In her career.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
Okay, so let's get to the yikes, trashy divorce part. It is in July 2016. Mary J. files for divorce after 12 years of marriage. In court documents, she claims that Isaacs not only had a mistress, but had also spent more than $420,000 recently on travel expenses that involved his mistress.
I thought he wasn't supposed to have female friends.
Hold on. Because you haven't heard the whole story. What makes it worse is who Kendu's mistress was. Mary J. Blige claims that Isaacs was having an affair with Mary's protege, Linnea Starshell Menzies. Starshell. In the VH1 documentary about Blige, she said of the situation, all these years have come to this, like you didn't even pick me, you picked somebody else. That shit is humiliating. It hurt real bad, but they got beds. We gotta lay in it. She'll go on to say, and just so we're clear, don't let her anywhere near what you're doing for me because she's the reason for all this shit. So let's keep unpacking this.
Sure.
Mary has since said that her marriage to Kendu made her feel quote-unquote small because she was constantly criticized by her husband. She struggled with self-esteem and felt that his infidelity meant that she was quote-unquote not enough. The divorce got ugly with claims being made against both partners. Blige claimed that Isaacs drove a Mercedes that she prepaid the lease on and that he was refusing to turn over possession of her Grammys and other achievement awards.
No.
She said that she had long been the only breadwinner in the family, and now she was burdened with all of their debts, which she claimed totaled more than $10 million. For his part, Isaacs claimed that he had, quote, experienced physical manifestations of stress and emotional distress from this matter, which had caused him to become hospitalized. The court documents also state that Isaacs claims, you ready for this? That he is, quote-unquote, unemployable. You just did the meme look of the guy who was like, pardon me?
I'm sorry, so how was he qualified to be her manager in the first place?
Yeah, see, he says he's unemployable and he would be unable to pay his rent without the monetary support from his wife.
Hmm. Well, this all took a turn.
At one point, Isaacs was demanding $120,000 a month and spousal support, in addition to $167,000 in attorney's fees.
This is called being taken to the cleaners, and I can understand why people can leave divorces incredibly embittered.
Blige and her lawyers fought this and felt that it was just outrageous. Mm-hmm. $120,000 a month, you're out of your mind, man. It's $1.4 million a year.
Yeah.
You don't leave me $10 million in debt and expect to get $1.4 million a year. What's wrong with you? In the end, Mary will not pay Kendu $120,000 a month, but she still claims that the divorce and what she was forced to pay Isaacs left her basically penniless. In 2017, the divorce was finalized. You ready? Mary was ordered to pay Kendu Isaacs $30,000 a month in spousal support.
That just feels excessive.
And $135,000 retroactively back to September 1st, 2016. But that's not all. Mary was also ordered to pay $100,000 in attorney's fees and expert costs.
I hate to say it, but that part is actually normal for the moneyed spouse. But has she by any chance sued him to recover any of her fortune that he apparently misspent?
No. And this is where I want to just get trashy and off the record for a minute. Because nobody understands this. Dude swindled you out of $10 million. Destroyed your financial platform. And you're paying him. This has not made any sense to anyone since it happened. Even Wendy Williams, it was like, what? This, none of this settlement makes any sense. You were the one, Isaacs, who took her money, mismanaged her career, got her into debt. Why is she paying you? Off the record. Go back to Jaguar Wright. Jaguar Wright and her supposition, because they all know each other. Again, I'm not saying this. Link to the video if you want it. But the side undercover supposition of how Mary J. Blige just wanted it done was because Starshell was not Kendu's mistress. Starshell was hers.
Okay, that's a bombshell allegation.
It's a little bit of a twist. So go back to the rule. I only have female friends. You only have male friends. The rumor, the supposition, again, I'm not saying this is true. I'm just saying in the research of the story, you can go listen to her particular take about it, Jaguars, but Mary J. kind of went along with all of it in order just to make it all go away.
Okay, so the idea is that she accepted essentially financial ruin for him to keep her secret?
Correct.
Interesting.
I make no claims on the veracity of that. I just am as good as the sources I find. The sources that we've used are absolute quotes from Mary J. I just found that kind of an interesting take, as it is so curious at how Mary J. really got screwed in that divorce.
Really got screwed, yeah.
Really got screwed. So whatever happens in relationships behind closed doors, it's not mine to speculate on. I can tell you that the breakup and divorce were hard on Mary. It takes her a little bit of time to come to terms with everything that's happened. And she was really open about how it affected her and how difficult it was for her to deal with. In a 2021 interview, Mary J. says, "That moment when I got a divorce and got hit with all of that alimony, I was like, okay, I never realized that this could happen to me in that way. And I was like at the bottom. I had nothing when I left out of that marriage and I had to work. I had my name, you know? So I had to work and so I did. I went on tour. I had to do everything to make that money to pay out the alimony." And that's what she did.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, she got to a place where she harnessed the pain into creativity. Mary deals with the aftermath of her divorce and financial troubles by writing new music and going on tour. Her single Rent Money, perfectly named, released in 2022, was written about her, not being able to pay her rent.
Mm-hmm.
According to Blige, the song depicts her divorce proceedings. Rent Money is about when I first got divorced. I had to give up all this alimony and I didn't have no more money to give because he had spent it all. So I had to go, I had to go on tour and make all the money back to pay for alimony. She'll explain in another interview, I didn't have no money to pay my rent and all this other stuff. But it's also a metaphor, like, I didn't have my soul. I was just drained of everything. So it was time for somebody to pay. Sometimes you just feel like somebody gotta pay. In 2017, this is right after the split, Mary tells Variety that she was just doing okay after the split, with Kendu explaining, "I'm living. I'm not happy about a lot of things. I thought someone loved me, right? Turns out he was a con artist and he didn't. And now he's coming after me for all my money. When you come out of something like that, you realize you were never the one. There was someone else that was his queen. I got played. I got suckered. I have to keep smiling and keep my spirits up because this is designed to kill me. It all takes time. It takes time to process. In 2018, following year, Mary will tell Elle magazine that she finally felt confident about herself inside and out. She'll say, I didn't feel beautiful. Like, for real, not just, hey, I'm pretty, but actually believing it. If you've been beat down mentally by someone, you're never pretty enough. You're never smart enough. Nothing's ever good enough. The album that Rent Money was on and that she toured with in 2022 was titled Good Morning, Gorgeous. Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
When she appeared on The View, she said it was named that because she began to speak positively about herself daily in the mirror so that she would come to love herself.
Good.
She'll say the title came from a place when I was in a lot of bondage, in a dark place, and I had to learn how to speak positive affirmations and positive things over my life to get out of this dark situation. I do the little bit of giggle because you laugh at me all the time. And my friend, my BFF, laughs at me because every time I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, looking good, girl.
Right.
Keep it up. Nice. And I'll just compliment myself when I look. No, I don't have to feel great about myself, but it's kind of a fake it till you make it sort of thing.
No, it's great. I mean, we don't laugh at you meanly.
I just came out of the bathroom one day and y'all were both like, who are you talking to? And I was like, me? They were like, you're just telling yourself pretty things about yourself? I'm like, yeah, I do it every time.
Yeah.
If you don't believe it, who else is gonna? Trash Pandas, go look at yourself. Like the next time you're in the bathroom, just look at yourself in the mirror, give yourself a little wink, give yourself a little pat on the back, tell yourself you're great, because you are. All right. At a live event called Strength of a Woman Festival and Summit, this happened in Atlanta in 2023, Mary reflects on the idea of women having to pay alimony. She passionately believes the entire concept is wrong. In fact, she says that women paying men alimony is whack. She'll say it's so whack right now that men can come at you and get alimony. When I was getting a divorce, I was like, you mean to tell me I gotta pay him? And he cheated? And he lied?
Yeah, I regret to inform you. That is how that works.
Essence magazine covered the issue and reported that despite being paid 83 cents for every dollar men earn, there's been an increase of women paying spousal support to men. To a live audience, Mary said, I owed so much money, I never thought I'd get out of debt. I'm out of debt now. I will never allow someone to have that much power over my life or my finances again.
That's the lesson.
That's the straight truth
right
there. No, you don't get in my bank book anymore. When asked what advice Mary has to any wealthy women getting married, what do you think this life lesson is?
Prenup or just skip it?
Nope. First sentence, get a prenup.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have one and that's why I ended up having just to give everything away.
Yeah. I feel like Mary J. Blige may not have been well served by lawyers along the way and business managers.
Nope. Not really. It's a lot. It's a lot to a story. We got two more bits to talk about and this gets a little uncomfortable. I want to talk about the Danny Boy allegations.
Not familiar with this.
There's a rapper and producer. His name is Danny Boy. His real name is Daniel Maldonado. He is a former member of the hip-hop group House of Pain. He has recently, Danny Boy has, made some troubling allegations against Mary. The troubling part of the story is that Danny Boy claims that he was 16 years old when his relationship with Mary started, and Mary was 24. In an interview with The Art of Dialogue, Danny Boy described a night in 1995 after the Source Awards. His godbrother, Suge Knight, gave an infamous speech that night that dissed P. Diddy. This was in the middle of the East Coast versus West Coast feud, then this speech only added fuel to the coastal fires. After that award show, Danny Boy said he was in his hotel room when Shug told him to come to his hotel suite and hang out. When he got there, Danny Boy says, there was a table full of females in Shug's suite, including Hilton, Mary J. Blige, Devonte Swing's baby mama. He hung out for a while and then went back to his room. Danny Boy said that Shug then called him back to his room saying, old girl, wanna see you. Danny Boy continues, I get up there to the room. Shug's in his room and Miss is sitting on the bed with a sheet wrapped around her and Mary's sitting on the couch. So I know the girl he in bed with don't want me, so he closed the door and I sit down and I start talking to Mary. Danny Boy said that Mary seduced him that night and then started flying him to New York to visit her afterward. He continues along with the interview saying, that's why I was kind of confused when I heard Kurt Cobain saying that Mary was a pot girl, a two-pot girl, because at the time, she was my girl. At the time, I'm 15, 16 years old, and she flying me in to see her, and you're supposed to say you had sex with people on camera? We had relations. It is unclear when this situation stopped. In 2016, Danny Boy announced that he's gay. In interviews, he said that he decided to come out after a man that he had been in a relationship with took his own life. Danny Boy said he wanted the opportunity to be a positive role model for LGBTQ plus people experiencing shame over their sexuality.
Yeah, that age thing is not great.
Not great. Let's go ahead and get to the moving on stage. In January 2024, Mary J. Blige confirmed that she is not single, but will not name her new love interest. While doing an interview with V103's Big Tigger, she was asked about her relationship status and if she was single. No, I'm not single, she says. I'm happy doing what I'm doing. She was there discussing her new album, which is scheduled to drop later this year. But she also described how and why she wrote her last single titled Still Believe in Love. This is where we're going to end it today. This is so nice. Well, I wrote the song when I was fresh out of my divorce because I needed to say something different and something positive other than what was going on in my life. I had to believe in myself. The timing, the climate for the song was just perfect for right now. People need some positivity. People need to know that, you know, I'm not dying. Like, I'm good, I'm happy. No matter what happens in life, I'm gonna get through it. And Still Believe is just about believing in myself, not giving up on life, not giving up on love, and I just think my fans needed to hear that from me. Mary J., Queen, action-packed life, like, overcome much. I have so many questions about that divorce, but that is my darling Trash Pandas, the trashy divorce saga of Queen Mary J. Blige.
We doing trash cans, or are we just respecting the many insurmountable obstacles that she has surmounted?
So many obstacles. I wish her the best. I think she's taken some real lessons in how to navigate relationships and love. And we all have, most of us, have to learn those lessons to get to the brighter day. Yeah. And good on you, Mary J., for making that happen.
Well, thank you one and all for joining today and over our 21 seasons.
Can you believe it? 21 seasons. We've been at this for 4.5 years. Are we stopping?
No.
Heck no.
No, no. We will be coming back after a little break. We'll be back in April, kicking off season 22. And in the meantime, our Trashy Divorces Patreon does not stop.
Can't stop, won't stop. This week, we're going to have Dumpster Dive. I got a spiderwebs about that time Veronica Webb interviewed Mary J. Blige and they almost got into a fight.
Yikes.
Yeah. Oh, also, in that spiderwebs coming for you, I want to talk about the collab that previous TD alum Elton John did with Mary J.
Love it.
We're going to do a little bit of a Mary J. spiderwebs this week for you. Again, all the other bonuses on Patreon, even though we're taking a break here on the main feed, patreon.com/trashydivorces. Can't stop, won't stop. Also, it's a really good time to remind you too.
Always a good time.
During our break, if you're looking for a little bit more trashy content,
be sure to check out our other two podcasts, Trashy Royals, on Thursdays. And on Mondays, you do something fun.
Done and done. Trashy Royals, we have finished up with the Edwina and Louis saga. We're doing some fun, tiny episodic episodes. You don't need to be too invested. They're kind of one-offs before our new big series coming. Done and done. We're still swimming with the swans, but we've left. This week, we're kind of leaving the feud series behind, and we're just going to do Alicia's version of real-life stuff to get you through that. Thank you, one and all, for tuning in and your support and telling your friends and your kind reviews and your sweet emails and your support on Patreon, not just today and this week, not just this season, but for all the seasons that have come before. We cannot tell you how much we love and appreciate you and your trashy heart. When you look at yourself in the mirror, you can say, Trashy Divorces loves me, and it will be true.
Friends, until we meet again in a couple weeks in April, I hope that you're going to keep your hands clean.
I hope you keep your hearts trashy. Big love, everybody. Can't wait to see you back next month.
Bye.
Bye. And thanks to you for listening. Trashy Divorces is a Hemlock Creatives production, created and produced right here in Atlanta, Georgia, by us, Stacy and Alicia, with a little research and writing help from the brilliant Melissa O.
Our art is by Sydney V. Smith. That's Sydney V. Smith at carbonmade.com. And our music is used with permission of Ratsy. Check her out at Ratsy's store on Instagram. And definitely drop into Ratsy's store anytime you're in Oberlin, Ohio.
You can contact us at trashydivorces@gmail.com or find us on the World Wide Web at trashydivorces.com.
If you need more trash candy in your life, our Patreon community includes some of the very best humans around and thousands of hours of bonus content at every level of support. Join the fun at patreon.com/trashydivorces.
Interested in some Trashy Divorces swag? Check out our merch shop and Trash Panda Enthusiasm Society at bit.ly/trashygear.
Want to advertise with us? Reach out to sales@advertisecast.com for more information.
And last but not least, come play with us on social media. I keep most of our Trashy Divorces Instagram hopping. Stacy and I share it up over on Facebook, including our Trashy Divorces podcast discussion group. Come join us over there, and thanks again, everybody, for listening.
Keep it trashy, y'all.